It is Monday, August 10th. I'm Sam Cedar.
And I'm Lucy Steiner. Which one of these stories will you be talking about today?
President Trump used executive orders to push extensions to unemployment benefits and other economic measures. But his big showy orders aren't likely to trickle down to working people anytime soon. His planned cuts to Social Security and Medicare are even worse. Meanwhile, schools are reopening across the country. One school in Georgia captured in a viral photograph last week. Local reports say 9 cases have already cropped up. And lastly, protests are building in Lebanon against the corrupt government many hold responsible for the devastating explosion last week. And sure enough, that same government is cracking down hard.
You're listening to Majority.fm's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
President Donald Trump took executive action on Saturday, signing 4 executive orders supposedly aimed at stimulating the economy. Shouldn't come as a surprise to note that most of them are just backdoors to gutting social programs and preventing working Americans from getting what they deserve. The 4 orders look like they address the needs of a desperately hurting public. The first delayed payroll tax collection for people making under $104,000. Note that it just delayed the tax, not waived it. So while it'll mean a little more money in people's pockets now, it's not going to do very much in the long run. To make matters worse, payroll taxes are what feed Medicare and Social Security, and progressive activists are worried that Trump's cuts are just a backdoor to slashing those programs further down the line. And sure enough, Trump said in a press conference Saturday that if reelected, he'd shoot to eliminate the payroll taxes entirely. The second order extended unemployment benefits at $400 a week, $200 less than the $600 per week figure that most of out-of-work people were collecting before. But Trump is trying to take the federal government's share of this out of the DHS's Disaster Relief Fund, sidestepping Congress and draining vital funds all at once. There'll probably be a legal challenge to this one. Third order says that top officials, like the head of Health and Human Services and the CDC director, can, quote, consider whether or not to enact a ban on evictions. But it doesn't actually ban evictions, it doesn't allocate any more money to help renters, and basically does nothing. Great. The last order defers student loan payments until December 31st, at which point the money is due again. Seeing as this crisis doesn't appear to be going anywhere, it's unclear how much that'll help. As Democrats pointed out, all of this could have been avoided if the Senate had actually considered the HEROES Act passed by the House almost 2 months ago. But because the GOP's in charge, we get some half-assed executive orders serving as band-aids at best and further wounds at worst. The new school year is starting, and some students are, shockingly, back in the classroom. This is having an almost immediate tragic result. Let's look at the numbers. The New York Times reports that at least 97,000 children tested positive for the coronavirus in the last 2 weeks of July alone. Now imagine what's going to happen to that number as thousands of them go back to in-person school in Florida. You may have seen a photo floating around the news and social media last week, which showed a jam-packed hallway at a Georgia high school. That school had claimed that masks were encouraged but not mandatory because there was no way to enforce it, despite the fact that schools enforce dress codes all the time. And guess what? 6 students and 3 staff members have now tested positive, all of whom were present at school in the past week. This is just one very easy example of what's going to happen all over the country if in-person school continues this year. It's going to feed kids and their teachers into a meat grinder of diseases. Sure, the kids do tend to fare slightly better with the disease than older adults, but there will be deaths, especially among the teachers who will be exposed again and again. Reopening a school is almost certainly condemning at least some of your students and staff to death, but officials across the country are going ahead with it anyway.
Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend. And regardless of what you order, receive 10% off your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. And all shipping is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at JustCoffee.coop.
Lebanon is fed up after government neglect and corruption effectively caused the massive explosion that devastated the city of Beirut last week. Its citizens have taken to the streets in massive protests against the government. Protests began on Saturday and continued through Sunday as angry demonstrators pelted the outside of the country's parliament building with rocks. The government responded by cracking down with tactics that would seem familiar to any American after this summer. Tear gas, batons, and riot gear. Waves of protesters stormed the Foreign Ministry, the Environmental Ministry, and the Economy Ministry, and occupied the Banking Association building. The latter group is held responsible for part of the country's worsening economic crisis. So far, a handful of politicians have resigned, but nowhere close to the 43 needed for the government to officially change. 21 people are still missing after the blast, and 153 are confirmed dead, this according to the Guardian newspaper. Search and rescue teams have given up on finding any more survivors.
And now for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
The post office is still in dire straits. Common Dreams reports on a Friday night massacre at the end of last week in which the Trump crony Postmaster General ousted several top executives. Its funding for the beleaguered agency and vote-by-mail battles go on. Keep an eye on this story this week. In fact, today on the Majority Report, we will have the president of the Mail Carriers Union on to discuss. Alex Morse, a progressive mayor of Holyoke, Massachusetts, who's running to unseat long-term Democrat Richie Neal in the state's primary next month, is currently weathering a strange morality scandal as critics bring up his consensual relationships with college-age men, some of them students, while he was mayor and a lecturer at UMass Amherst. Morse isn't accused of anything per se, which makes the whole situation a little shaky. Joe Biden still does not have a VP pick, but he might have one soon. He's got a virtual fundraiser event set for Monday, which is including a press pool, and could be when he's making the announcement. Or not. We'll see. Protesters in Portland aren't letting up, once again setting a small fire at a police union headquarters on Sunday, which cops quickly declared a riot, sparking another night of running arrests and street clashes.
Quicker! Quickie!
Join us today live at noon for the Majority Report. We're going to be talking to the head of the Letter Carriers Union about the situation at the post office. And of course, you can always catch this conversation later as a podcast. Stay safe.